Here we are, the last bits. It's Maseches Bikurim, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Gimel. And we're talking about a kind of person that's called an androgynous. Androgynous is someone who is both man and woman together. So the Tana here is learning that such a person who's got both male and female parts is like a suffix. We're not sure if he's considered a man or a woman, and therefore machmer both ways. So we said, in certain ways, he's like, the halachas, like an androgynous, are like a man. Certain ways, they're like a woman. And now the Mishnah here picks up, how are they like a woman? So it says, again, we're acting out of suffix. Maybe they're a woman, therefore we're machmer. First of all, he's metama ba'odim kanashim. If this androgynous has like blood come out of him, so then we treat it like as like same woman having blood in him, and the person's like he's like a zav, or a nida, a suffix. Ve'enu misyachad im ha'anashim kanashim, and he cannot be mityached, he can't be like isolated by himself, you know, with a man. Just like women, you know, there's an yichud with men with women, so we treat him like perhaps he's like a woman, and therefore he can't be isolated with a man or alone with a man. This is hard to see. The reason why there are four girsos.
What about a woman? Can't be isolated.
No, can't be with a woman. That we said yesterday. And this is gonna be hard for you. Just listen in for this, because I'll tell you why. There are four girsos of this.
Wow.
Of this tosefta. So I'm just. Oh yeah, actually, I was gonna follow this girsa. You follow, use this one inside. I can't promise they're exactly the same. So I was gonna use this one. Okay, so continuing on. Yeah. The Eno Zokik Yibum Kanashim. Yibum is if you have a man who dies and has no children and he's married, so then his brother is supposed to marry the widow, the guy's wife, and have a child, and that like be continue the name of the father who died prematurely. But if the only living sibling, or the living sibling in line, so to speak, is this androgynous, so we don't treat him like a man that he now has to marry the widow, because maybe he's a woman, so therefore, of course, he's enozokik liyibum kanashim. He's not obligated to pair up and marry the widow, like any other sister wouldn't have to, like any woman. Benocholak im habanim. When a person dies, so a man dies, he leaves over his estate to the children. So usually, yesterday we said how the first bit of the money, if there is, goes to support the young children, the young girls, I should say. But then after that's taken care of, really the sons are who take the Yerusha, the inheritance, is apportioned amongst the boys. Unless
before
the
you go on,
yeah,
Kahagi also says he's exempt from chalitza also.
Yeah, correct. It's a package deal. Yeah. Okay. So so the boys are the ones who inherit, not the girls, unless the father does some tricky legalities before. So we don't treat him like a boy, and therefore he's not going to inherit with other boys. Then a cholak b'kadshe hamikdash kanashim, and also. This is like very technical, but there's certain things when you divide up when a Kohen divides up the Kodshim, the Beis Hamikdash, certain things only men Kohanim can eat, and certain things also women could eat.
Really?
Yeah. I really don't get there now. It's like, I just want to do a whole Masechta while I'm sitting here. But anyways, the point is, whatever, he's like a woman, so the things that only the sacrificial meat that only go to the men, he doesn't get a part of. Okay? This androgynous is not kosher to do edus. That means to be testifying in court. The truth is, this is more complicated than meets the eye. But there certain kinds of, when you need two people's testimony, to summarize, so those two people need to be men. We don't take women as edim. So in those kind of situations, we won't let androgynous, like a woman, we won't let him testify. Certain kinds of testimony is acceptable from women, so that of course would be acceptable for. And even he's even more than that. The Rambam, it's going to come out that we won't use him as an aid, as a witness, for prosecution, in other words, to make someone guilty. But we will use him as an aid for defense. So actually, he's actually like more eligible than a woman, if you will. We'll rely on him. We'll be relying on him to be lenient to say he's a man on the tzad that we can save somebody. Okay. Beno nival ba'avera kanashim. There's a bunch of girsos here, but let us learn it. Like the art scroll girsa here. I think the art scroll is based on the Rush. That means that in terms of, you know, there's certain people you can't marry because they're like your relatives. So we're treating them like a woman in that regard. So in other words, if this person would marry his father or grandfather, so in addition to that, we said before, he can't marry any man because maybe he's a man, but on top of that, there's a separate there's separate prohibitions of like marrying your relative, if you're like marrying your grandfather, if you're a girl. So and it's like an erva, and would pass you from, as a kohen would pass you. So we're treating him like a woman, treating the androgynous like a woman, that if he marries one of his, let's say anyone who would be forbidden to him specifically if he were a woman, because it's a relative of his, that he's forbidden also as a separate iser, and pasul min kahuna kanasha. And if he would marry such a person, so then, like he marries his grandfather, let's say, so since if it would be a woman who married her grandfather, she'd be pasul, no longer married, allowed to marry a kohen, because she's now, that's a prohibition, if you can't marry one of your arias, then you can't be marry a kohen anymore. So we'll treat it the same way, like now she or he, whatever it is, the androgynous, is now pasul the kahuna, which would also mean that they can no longer participate in eating truma. So he ruins truma chances.
What's the basis that he can't eat truma?
Because we're treating like he's a woman, and now he's become like a pasul woman, a pasul from the kahuna, because she married her uncle or grandfather, whatever it is. So we're treating, in other words, on this, but we're treating him as if
the grandfather was a kohen.
Yeah, but you can't marry your grandfather, that's an erva. That's like incestuous. So if he does something incestuous, that's ruined him. Okay, fine.
And the kohen that she marries, would also be prohibited from eating truma.
If he married a kohen, then...
The kohen himself. The grandfather's a kohen.
On the tzad that he married his granddaughter, yeah.
Then they disqualify.
Yeah, we treat him like a woman in that regard. Now, v'shavala nashim v'lanashim ketzad, and there are certain ways that the androgynous is got dinim like man and woman, both. In other words, we don't care that he's a man or a woman or suffix, he's just considered a human being, and there's certain things that are parallel for all human beings. Ketzad, for example, chayev al nizko ki'ish v'isha, if you have that girsa, if you hurt him, right, nezek, if you hurt this androgynous, you have to pay like a regular person. This is quite, just so you should know, I didn't speak it out yesterday in Shir, but in the ancient world, where the Mishnah has time and before, so androgynous typically, not that much record, but where there is record, they weren't treated as human beings. They were often just killed because they were bad luck. They weren't treated as people. They're like, you know, I don't know what they were considered. In the ancient world, they're very cruel to abnormalities. But anyway, so this Mishnah is saying that if you break the guy's nose, so you have to pay as if he's like a regular person, he's a regular human being. Because no difference between if you break a woman's nose or a man's nose in terms of your payments. Okay? The chaya b'chol nizakin, and similarly, if he goes and breaks someone else's nose or breaks someone else's car or window, whatever it is, he has to pay, like any other person. Ki'ish v'isha, like a man and woman. V'ahorgo, and if someone kills him, he's a full-blown human being, of course, and therefore b'mezid nerag. If a person kills a mezid, then the person gets a misa for that. So if the killer kills the androgynous, he's like killed any person and he gets killed. B'shogeg, and if you kill someone in an accident, right, then there's a din called, you go into gullus, you go into the one of the Ari Miklat. So if a person kills b'shogeg, I don't know, he was chopping a tree and the axe head flew off and it hit this androgynous and killed him. So now the chopper should be more careful because the axe head's full of the axes, and therefore he's gol Ari Miklat. He is exiled and goes to an Ari Miklat, Ir Miklat, until the Kohen Gadol dies, like normal, like any other din. Vima Yoshevas Lav Dam Tohar. Okay. After a woman, Kanashim V'Kanashim. So when a woman gives birth, there are different dinim in terms of a tumah and tahara if she is giving birth to a boy or a girl. If she gives birth to a boy, then for 7 days she's tamea no matter what. And then for the next 33 days, for a total of 40, next 33 days, even if she bleeds, that blood is not matama her. Like she's bleeding, I don't want to give a reason why, but it's called dam tohar, dam matama her. 33. So for a total of 40 days. That's if it's a boy. If it's a girl, so then for the first 14, this is the psukim say, then for 14 days she's tamea, but then for the next 66 days she's tahara. So the next 66 days, totaling 80, if she bleeds, so what? We don't. As long as, you know, she stopped bleeding from her birth for even a minute, then that blood is considered to be tahara blood. Ostensibly, it's just like bleeding because something ripped out of her body. But anyways, whatever the reason is, the Torah makes a dam tahara. So since we're in Mesupik, if it's a boy or a girl, this androgynous that she gave birth to, so then we'll remach in both ways, but between days 15 and day 40, whether it was a boy or a girl, doesn't matter. Either way, she'll be tahor. So if she bleeds between day 15 and day 40, so it's mamonoshach, if it was a boy, tahor, if it's a girl, tahor, so then she'll also, the woman will be tahor. Okay? Benochel b'kadshei gvul kanashim b'kanashim. Okay, this is a strange expression. Literally means, and this androgynous inherits the sanctified things of the borders, like men and like women. What it's talking about, in short, is there's certain kind, again, kohanim, certain kinds of gifts to kohanim only are going to be only going to the to men, because they only eat in the base of mikdash area, like bikurim, for example, like a. Sorry, not the basic question, sorry. Certain gifts the Kohen have to stay inside of Eretz Yisrael. Right? Because out of Eretz Yisrael is Tameh, like specifically Truma. Okay? Others are more strict, and can't even leave the base of Mikdash. But Truma can be eaten anywhere in Eretz Yisrael. You can't take it out of Eretz Yisrael because Truma outside of Eretz Yisrael is Tameh. The Chutz La'aretz is Tameh. So Truma has to stay within the borders. So the Gvul refers to the border of Israel. And therefore, things that are inherited that you can receive if you're a Kohen to be eaten anywhere in the borders of Israel, namely Truma and Trumas Miser. So that stuff they can get also. They can inherit from their father. They can eat it like a man or woman. It's not a problem. And with equal. Kanashim to Kanashim. Fine. And finally, the ha'omer, if a person says, Hareini Nazir, Shazet Ish Ve'isha. Different yourselves, but a person says, I'm a Nazir, on condition that this person, this androgynous, is a man and a woman, or a man or a woman, or he says, this is a man, I'm being combined with lots of different possible readings in the words, or if he says, on condition this is a man, or if he says, on condition this is a woman, whatever he says, bottom line is, since that's partially true, like we saw about the koi, there's something about it that's man-like, and something like that's woman-like, something that's neither man-like, and something that's both man and woman-like, and therefore if he says it, he's a nazir. But it'll be a nazir out of suffix. Right, we're not sure if he says, like, this is a man, and maybe he's a man, maybe not, then it'll be a nazir out of suffix. But still, a suffix chum of the raisa, nazir is the raisa. So if he says, I'm only a nazir if this person's a man, then we treat him as a nazir, and he has to do the whole naziris, but only misafik. Okay, that's one shot. And finally, Mishnah Hey, Eino shava lola nashim lola nashim. In some ways, he's neither like a man nor like a woman. How's that gonna work? Ketzad. Ein chayavin al tumaso. Okay, now we said already that if he, like, say for example, he has a red emission, so we treat him, we're machmer and say maybe he's a woman and therefore he's tummy. But what happens if? But even if in such a case, if a person becomes tummy from such blood, that blood is an avatuma. If it'd be a woman, it'd be an avatuma. So maybe it's an avatuma. And if you're tame, you can't go into the base of mikdash. And if you do, there's actually a chi of karas. But here we'll say that if a person was tame from this androgynous bleeding, so then from Pesukim we learn out that even if he is a woman, even so, since he's an androgynous woman, he's exempt. And there's no punishments. He'll be tame and shouldn't go in the base of mikdash. But if he does, he doesn't get karas. And similarly, ve'ein sorfin al tumaso. Similarly, if now truma goes and gets exposed to this tuma, truma gets exposed to this tuma. So normally, truma that's tame gets burned. But here we think, oh, well, wait a second. If this truma touched this man's, like, the blood emission out of him, so we treat it as tame. But you don't burn it because truma is usher to burn, usher to destroy. But if it's tame, it's a mitzvah to destroy it. But if you're misupik, you don't know whether it's tummy or tahor, which is the case if the truma touched the blood that came out of this man. Well, if he's a woman, so then it's tummy, you have to burn it. But if he's a man, it's not tummy. So you have to treat it as l'chumra, as tuma. You can't eat the truma anymore because maybe it's tummy, but you can't burn it because maybe it's tahor. So ein sorfin means we treat it like tummy, we don't burn it like tummy because maybe it's tahor. Again, you see the whole way through where it's.
Period.
And they let it rot.
Yeah.
Exactly. I guess you have to. I don't know if you can. We said this. Probably can't. It's probably considered a bizayon to purposely compost it. It's probably have to first let it, like you do with shmita. Leave it aside till it becomes inedible. Like it's, I don't know, pre-composted. Then you can use it after you put it in the ground afterwards. But first, you have to keep it aside. Like, no, neither eat it nor disgrace it, so to speak. Ve'eno ne'erach lo kanashim lo kanashim. Okay, there's a whole different part in the Torah called erachin. Bez Hashem will get there and catch him. It was part of the Torah that when a person can dedicate his erech, they call it his value, but it's like a fixed value. It's a fixed value to the base of Mikdash. And there's like a schedule in the Torah that says men are worth 50, women are worth 30. Like everyone's got a price tag based on their age and they're free and if they're young and if they're old, whatever it is. So since men and women have two different, you know, shekel amounts attached to them, so if he says, my erech is given, it's like, it's a non, it's undoable. Because you don't know if he's a man or woman, so it's neither. So you can't, he cannot give an erechin gift of his own value. Okay? Ve'enu nimkar be'eved evri v'lo kanashim v'lo kanashim. Okay, this is got a little background here. An eved evri, that's a Jewish slave. A Jewish slave can, let's talk men for a second. A man can become a slave if he's a Jew in one of, only one of two ways. Only one of two ways. Either A, he is in debt. Well, he can't afford to support himself. He's essentially in debt, and therefore he needs to sell himself into servitude to be able to support himself or his family and pay himself back. You know, he's underwater. So he sells himself. The other way is if he's a thief and he can't, and he's now, he's got a debt to pay, and he cannot pay his debt because he hasn't got the money, so he becomes the eved of the victim to until he can repay back his debt. So it's not, but he remains a full-blown Jew. He's a mitzvah in Torah, he has to get up in the morning and daven shacharis. He's not like a eved ivri where he's owned by the master. He's like a living housekeeper or whatever inside the house. Now, for a person to effect a sale, of himself certainly, he needs to be a bar das, he needs to be a bar mitzvah. You can't sell something before your bar mitzvah. That's why, you know, when these kids are selling lulavim and esrogim and they're not bar mitzvah, you get very nervous to buy them because like they're not really empowered to sell things. So it's not a transaction. I don't really get that more, but the point is, children before bar mitzvah can't affect the transaction. So there's no conceivable way that a man can become an eved ivri until he's bar mitzvah. Because he has to sell himself, and he can't sell himself because he's not got the power, he's unempowered to do it. A woman, a girl, can also become an what's called an amma ivriya, an indentured servant, whatever, but not in those ways at all. The only way she can become an indentured servant is if her father, not her, but her father sells her when she's a minor. Because as soon as she becomes, she reaches like bas mitzvah age, essentially, so then she becomes now, she now automatically goes free. Okay, as soon as she's bas mitzvah, a Jewish girl cannot be an eved once she's bas mitzvah. So it comes out then that the time periods where a Jew can be an eved is totally mutually exclusive. If they're a man, it's after 13. If it's a woman, it's before 13. All right, 12 and a half, 12. So therefore, like, there's no way that this androgynous can be sold in slavery because we're Masupik either way. That who's gonna, if the father declares maybe he's a man, it didn't work. And if he sells himself, maybe he's a girl, it won't work.
Father can't sell the boy.
No,
only a girl.
Only a girl. So that's that. So they can never become unlike a man, unlike a woman, they can never become an eved. And finally, im ama hareni nazir, if a person says ama nazir, on a condition that she'ein ze ish ve'isha, that this is neither a man nor a woman, or either one or the other, still hareis a nazir. He becomes a nazir because whatever he said, it's true in part. There are halachic aspects to this person androgynous, which is not male and not female. So whatever he said, it'll be chal, but maybe at a suffix. Is that at a suffix? There's no bar tanur here, which makes it a little rough. What do you say?
What are you looking for?
I'm just looking if it's a suffix. Maybe it shouldn't be a suffix here, I'm thinking. Okay, I don't see any mention here of suffix. The reason
this
why is...
There's a Tosus and a Rush. And a Rush. Fine.
Yeah, so the reason why I don't...
Would you
I
like to have a look at this?
No, it's fine. Where are
we? Right at the bottom.
I wasn't saying that. Whatever. I think it's Vadai. It's an educated guess. I don't seem to think it's any difference. The reason why is because if you say I'm... You know, I'm not sure. It probably depends. It depends on how we look at this person. In other words, if I say I'm a nazir on the condition that this person's a man, well, misafik, yes, but maybe not. If he says on condition that the person's not a man, so then, like we're learning now, there are certainly ways in which he's not a man. But on the other hand, there are certain shittas that he's held like a man. So I think it would depend. If it's a suffix or vade, it will depend on what we learn the lumdus is and what an androgynous is. And I'm going to actually explain the lumdus a little bit right now, at some possibilities. This last line
here is... Rabbi Yosef has three dots whether he's a hermaphrodite. And the first one has two dots.
Yeah, I didn't get there. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, up to now we've been saying... Answer. Yeah? Up to now we've been saying that we're not sure if it's a man or a woman. Okay? Now, Rabbi Yosef says... Ignoring Makati for a second, Rabbi Yossi Omer androgynous, he's a beri b'fnei atzma. He's his own kind of creature, a whole different category. V'lo hechrichu, and the rabbi hechrio, and the rabbis weren't machria. They didn't make a final decision. Bo hachamim im isha, whether he's a man or a woman. And that statement seems to be self-contradictory. The first part saying he's a beri b'fnei atzma, that he's his own creature, means like he's not a man, not a woman. He's a third category called the androgynous. But then he said they weren't machria. They didn't decide if he's a man or a woman. Well, that sounds like he's a suffix. So there's a difference. There's a difference between a third category thing and being not sure if it's a man or a woman. So there are at least three ways, of learning how Rav Yossi understands. One pshat is to take the beri b'fnei atzma part serious, and the other part is just halachic. In other words, one understanding is he's a third category, end of story, and therefore they weren't machria. Yeah, no problem. Are you in my phone? So in other words, when I said they weren't machriya, it means they didn't decide if the halachas of an androgynous were... You're not going to school? So they didn't decide if it's like a man or like a woman. The second possibility is that it's like the Tanakhama, and he's explained the Tanakhama, and he's saying it's a different category and they never decided, and since it's like a different thing, they didn't decide if it's like a man or like a woman. Misafik, just like we've been saying in Tanakhama. So no arguments at all. And a third possibility, this is like the most subtle in terms of lumdus, they weren't sure either he's like they weren't sure if he's a category on his own, or if he's not sure if he's a man or a woman. Like, you know, we're misafik, not just. It's either we're taking both literally. We're saying on the one hand, we're not sure if he's a man or a woman, or maybe he's a beri b'fnei atzma, new category. We're not even sure about that. Maybe so it's a triple suffix. We're not sure we're not sure if he's a man or a woman, and we're also not sure if he's man or woman, or if he's a beri b'fnei atzma. It's a three-way suffix. That's what Avi Kant is quoting there. So, but like I told you yesterday, the vast majority of poskim, the Rosh, the Rambam. The Rambam, the Tur, the Machaber brings like that, the Gra, learn that it's like the Tanakhama, that he's a Suffolk man, Suffolk woman. Okay? The Rosh is the one, and the Ri learn he's a man. Learn the Halacha Maisa, he's possibly a man. And the Ravid learns he's like, I guess, Beri b'fnei atzma, he's half man, half woman. Not a Suffolk, he's actually a little of each. Okay. So that brings us to the. Oh, sorry, one more bit here. Of a tumtum, but when it comes to a tumtum is something totally different. An androgynous has male body parts and female body parts. But a tumtum, we don't know what he is. Like, tumtum means covered up. Like tameid, you're blocked out. Or like atum, cheder atum, blocked, sealed room. This person is born, and he has skin over him, so you can't see if he's a man or a woman. It's just covered. You can't see. So this person there's a question mark looming over him if he's a man or a woman, but if you do surgery and remove the flap of skin, you're going to find out what he is. So it's a suffix, but it's not a suffix that may be buried from the outside. It's just that we're misupik if it's a man or woman until it turns out whatever he is. He's one or the other, we just don't know. It's like a closed box, you know? So now this is medically very, very uncommon. Very, very few cases of it. Although the Gemara says that, first of all, the Midrash, the Gemara says in Yevamos that Avram and Sarah were tumtumin. Whatever that means? Yeah. You can't ask me? I can't answer. I'm just telling you the fact it says that. They had children. I don't know what happened next. I'm just telling you that's what it says. It also says, there's also a Midrash that says that Yosef was a tumtum. And finally, there's a Gemara in Yevamos that says that there was a certain tumtum that they didn't know what it was, and then they like cut off the skin, and the tumtum had children. So yeah, it was a man and had children. So there you go.
Can you just back up? I didn't hear the first one. Who was the first one?
Avram and Sarah. There's a Gemara that says also Yevamos.
Both of them.
It says Avram and Sarah were tumtums. I don't know what it means.
Were tumtum or hemaphrodite?
Tumtum. Tumtum.
Any cases of androgynous?
There. Androgynous happens even medically with Bismanaze, you can get them from time to time. But the only case that I know of in like the Jewish literature of an androgynous is Adam Rishon. Zachor and Akeva Bar Osam, like Adam Rishon was both man and woman. Before Shem took a Sela and made a woman. And so that's why some learn Sela. Some in Sela means like the rib itself. That's how the Christians learn. There's a Jewish basis for it. But some in Sela just means side. Sadi Lamed Ein. Like basically half woman, half woman. Like, I don't know how Hashem did it. Basically operated and divided into two parts. So maybe it means Siamese twins. I don't know exactly.
Are there any nowadays?
Androgynous? There are some, but it's very uncommon. There are. It does happen. Yeah, well, if you want to learn literally, I mean, you could. It's possible to learn just as simply as it's like a Siamese twin, and just cut down the middle. It's not clear what it means. Also, by the way, androgynous happened, we said, literally being both man and woman is very uncommon, but to be like someone who's like sort of not properly developed, and therefore you can't tell if they're man or woman, that's common. I mean, Rahman al-Islam, but it's not uncommon. The genetic and hormonal problems, that it happens. Okay, so that's the end of the fourth parak.